Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to a very special episode of Triple Chalice Tarot. I am your host for the evening, Rowan Nix, here with my co-host, Taruk Vishal.
Hello.
And tonight we're talking about dreams, specifically in the importance of dreams in everyday life and their use in tandem with psychic phenomena and the occult. Now, dreams have had an extremely important significance as far back as recorded history goes. The Greeks, Egyptians, and Babylonians all saw fit to record their dreams for various reasons, either for messages that were contained within or with messages with their gods. They used it to interpret prophecy and symbology in their dreams. The Chinese and Aboriginal tribes of Australia both believed that dreams were the soul being able to traverse a vast network of a spiritual dreamscape. I believe in Australia this is called the dreaming, and this is what actually influenced the movie Inception, which is about lucid dreaming, etc. The theory behind this is that all minds are connected. The ancient Jews and early Christians believed that dreams were a meeting place to communicate with their God, and the Native American tribes believed that they were able to communicate with their ancestor spirits or totem spirits in the dreams as well. Now, in modern times and in the age of science and psychiatry, dreams play an important role in dealing with repressed psychological issues. This is propertied by Sigmund Freud. And Carl Jung believes that dreams are a manifestation of a creative primordial subconscious, again, where all of the minds are connected. When you look at it this way, as the dreams being sort of like a well that's shared between all of us, we can have an easy explanation as to why divination works and also how dreams can be prophetic, because we're all linked together, and so the future and the past are malleable. When we're able to tap into the subconscious, we're able to read thoughts, read others' futures or fortunes, and perceive events to come. Taruk, I know you've had a bit of experience with prophetic dreaming yourself. Did you want to share some of that with everybody?
Well, thank you. I actually would like to share one specifically, which I had a while back. Well, not even a while back, maybe like a few weeks ago, which I spoke to you about, which was a dream that I was in a school. Actually, a Luna was with me in the dream, and we were standing, and all of a sudden I see this guy to my left side, and somehow I know that he is possessed by a demon or something of that nature, and out of nowhere he takes out two guns, and before he even begins to shoot, I jump on his back and I grab his hands and I throw them up in the air and I fire the shots in the air up in the ceiling, and when you know, there's no more, when it's like click click click, I jump off of his back and I hit him in the back of the head, and then about 6 days later we then hear about that shooting. You know, about the shooting, where was it again? Was it in, I'm not sure which state it was, and I don't want to say the wrong state, but yeah, like 6 days later, you know, there was that shooting, and I made sure I wrote it on my Facebook. I wrote about the dream on my Facebook, and then after it happened, I think, on October 1st, so I then, you know, relinked the post that I made on September 25th, so 6 days before the shooting happened, I had a dream about it. And it's not a coincidence. The dream was in a community college. The guy shot people in a community college, and he had more than one gun. In the dream, I saw that he had two, and then it turns out that he was a pagan or a Wiccan, something of that nature, and that he, you know, was dabbling in the occult. And in the dream, I knew that he had something in him that was not normal, possessed by a demon or something of that nature. So, yeah, definitely prophetic dreams are something that do happen every so often. It has happened in the past. Also, one time I had a dream that I specifically asked spirit, I asked, you know, show me if I will relocate, if I will go back home because I was living in another state, and that night I had a dream that I was looking out of my window back where I live, and I ended up moving back home, you know. So these things do happen, you know. Now, I would like to bring up the topic of lucid dreaming.
Oh,
Now, I know
wow.
that, yeah, I know many of us have heard about this. I know many people probably don't know too much about it. Now, Rowan, what do you know about lucid dreaming?
Lucid dreaming is anytime you're having a dream and you're awake in the dream. You're able to perceive that you are not in the waking world at the moment. And this is as simple as you're in the dream, you're in front of the class. We've all had the one dream where you're in front of the class and you're naked and you're giving a presentation or something, and oh my God, I'm dreaming. And usually, for me in my past, when I've done it, I've always had the knee-jerk instinct to wake up right away, so I haven't been able to languish in the dream. And there are different techniques into getting yourself to actually lucid dream, as well as to realizing that you're dreaming, basically. Again, this is purported in Inception, which, you know, expands on this theory. In my past, I've only been able to actually lucid dream where I've been able to alter the dream itself only like a handful of times. I want to say three. One of them, I was walking down this breezeway, I guess, but it was like winter and it was like in a forest and there were trees overhead. And I was walking with a little girl and I looked around and I realized that I was in a dream because I kept hearing my alarm clock, and it was a mechanical sound in a forest and it didn't compute. And for some reason I was able to acknowledge this. And I've always wanted to fly. That's always been one of my goals in life, is to experience the feeling of flying or motion, et cetera. So in the dream, I tried to fly, but I pressed off of the ground, and instead of, you know, falling, I was able to float upwards, sort of like in Alice in Wonderland, you know, when she's falling down the rabbit hole. It was very much that. Another time, it was just like any other day. I woke up, I went to work, I drove to work. I was sitting at my desk, and I looked down, and I realized that the words on the mouse pad that I had at the time at the office kept moving. And I would look down again, and they wouldn't be the same words. And that's another very common instance to tell you that you're dreaming, is to have a book by your bedside, or I use my tarot cards now. And if the words change or if they alter in any way, it means that you're dreaming. And so I knew that I was dreaming. And there's the other tell in lucid dreaming is that there's no beginning to the dream. There's no, okay, I did this to get to this to get to this. You're always right in the middle of the action. So I didn't actually see myself driving to work. I just kind of took for granted that it happened. And that's really big when you get into, you know, is this illusion or is this reality? You know, if you don't remember something, did it really happen? It kind of puts everything into question, which is where some people say that the danger of lucid dreaming occurs, is that you cease to remember which is real and which is fake. And obviously, Inception kind of, you know, dramatizes this. But overall, I think it's pretty easy to pick up on. Your body sort of knows something isn't really right. You have a sensation that maybe you're underwater, or your limbs feel kind of fuzzy. The sunlight isn't as sharp. I noticed when I was in the dream, light itself wasn't as bright as it was in the waking world. I know that when I was in the forest, it was like an overcast day, so I didn't think anything of it. But when I was sitting at my desk, I noticed that the light above me was kind of dim and flickering. And so I was able to wake up right after that, and I was in my bed, and I had to go to work, obviously, because that's where my head was at the time. But what about you, Taruk? Have you had any experience with lucid dreaming before? Have you ever realized that you were dreaming?
It's pretty interesting. My experience with lucid dreaming started in childhood, and I want to say it started before the age of, well, around the age of 9 or 8, and at that time it was in the form of sleep paralysis, and it would literally happen to me every single night, and it would terrify me. It would terrify me half to death. I mean, I know this is going to sound funny, but I thought I was being abducted by aliens because I would just lay in bed and I would see lights going across the room, and all of a sudden I could not move, and I felt this fabric, like a see-through fabric over me. And I tried to scream as loud as I could, and nothing would come out. And I would just like sit there and take it. So I just thought that, you know, aliens were coming to abduct me every single night. And I would go sleep in my parents' room literally every single night because of this fear. And it wasn't until high school and until I really got into Wicca and magic and this guy who I met, he was like the first Wiccan who I met in high school, and he gave me a book on astral projection, which is, I guess, the metaphysical, not metaphysical, maybe the Wiccan or witchy or, you know, word for lucid dreaming. Lucid dreaming is more the scientific word. But it was a book on astral projection. And when I read everything that it said, like all the hair stood up in the back of my neck because I was like, this is what happened to me. And it's so funny because it's the night that I read that book, I had a lucid dream. I really don't remember what it really was, but I never really got a control of it until I went to college and I learned about binaural beats, which is something that really helps lucid dreaming. Binaural beats are basically beats which I will post a link on the Facebook page when the show is over with binaural beats and other links to how to lucid dream and things of that nature for you guys to check out. And I tried the binaural beats, and when I tell you, you know, it went from writing one page per dream to writing like 10 to 15 pages per dream. It was something that was incredible. The vividness and the colors and just the things that were happening were extraordinary. I never experienced something like that in my life. And also, I don't know if I should be this candid, but my lucid dreams, most of the time, tend to be of a sexual nature.
Well, that
They
comes from you being
do.
a Scorpio. Scorpios are always very sexual, so
Oh my
definitely
God,
in that vein,
yeah.
yeah.
And predatory type, okay? Like I'm literally looking. I've flown. There have been instances where I have flown to an apartment. Mind you, this is lucid dreaming. Flying to an apartment and I'm breaking through doors, okay? Looking for a guy. And many times when the guy does not want to partake, he transforms into a little kid. And then I have to go somewhere else and find another one, and eventually I found a guy. So that does happen. But yeah, I do have a lot of experience and a lot of different dreams pertaining to lucid dreaming. It's something I'm very interested in. So I
It's
wanted to
also
ask you.
interesting. Oh, sorry. Go
Oh
ahead.
no, go ahead.
Well, in the Middle Ages, this is where dreaming sort of takes on a more sinister tone. In the Dark Ages, really, they felt that dreaming was a sign of the devil, and there was all of these, because you're most sensitive when you're asleep, so there's a natural fear that goes into it, and that's kind of where the term nightmare actually comes from. It comes from that time period, and it's a Germanic word or a Proto-Germanic word or something. And that's where you also get the symbology of the incubi and the succubi, which were demons, quote unquote, that could infiltrate your dreams and steal your sexual energy and da 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 da. So it's interesting that you're having those kinds of dreams and, you know, this mythology and lore already exists. Maybe in those times they were having this, like, a similar dream with someone, and they didn't realize who it is, because you can be whoever you want in a dream. You know, a dream is
Absolutely.
reality made malleable. Like, you could be whomever, you could appear as whomever. Obviously they chose to appear
Yes.
as a child, so to be unsexual in the dream.
As a way to make me not I don't want to say attack them, but you know,
Or
not
desire
make
them
me, I
anymore.
guess, approach, yeah, desire them anymore, so I would go somewhere else. And it's funny because there's even been instances where I would walk up to a guy and he would not be attractive. So I would take my hand and I would pass it over his face and it would change to another face, and I'll pass it back and forth until the person turned into somebody who I wanted them to turn into, you know. So that's fun. And also, I know this is going to sound very X-rated, but I was even able to change the size of the person's penis to the size that
Get
I
it. I
wanted
say
it
yes.
to. Yes, you know, it's crazy. It definitely is. So yeah, I wanted to ask you, at what age did you begin to start lucid dreaming? Was it a young age, or was it, you know, in your early 20s or your late teens?
You know, the thing of it is that, okay, so dreams have always run in my family. I think I've mentioned this on another show. My grandmother had similar dreams to mine, and she always just thought it was like a very intense deja vu. And I get that too, where I'll have a dream and it'll be about something that's completely random, like birds flying overhead or a ball being thrown or a rocking chair or something. And then months later, like months and months, 3 months later at least, that image will come back to me and then it'll happen. It's prophetic in a way, but it's never anything to the degree that you've experienced where you've seen an actual world event happen. All of my events have been very, I don't, mediocre, I guess. And so I really started out with prophetic dreaming. And then in my teenage years, I started having dreams where I was other people. And I have a couple theories as to why this is, but generally speaking, in the dream, I will be someone else entirely, like someone that I've never been before, somewhere that I've never been before. I had one dream where I was in France. Don't ask me how I know that it was France because I've never been. Kudos to the people that are listening that may be from France. But it was the 1940s, and I was a young boy, and my name was Joseph because they kept calling me Joseph. And it was very much Holocaust era. It was very much the German occupation of France. And it was very much, I know that they were speaking to me in French. I don't speak a lick of French, but I understood them and I answered them. A couple times I would catch my reflection and it would be somebody else that I've never, and I stress this a lot because, they say in dreams you take from your waking life or, it's trapped in your subconscious, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I've never seen these places before in my life. They're not applicable to anybody. The boy that I saw was not someone I'd ever seen before. So my theory is that these are dreams from the other side. These are souls that have either passed on or are maybe in that creative subconscious and their memories are coming up. I've had several dreams that were like this, and this started in my teens and continue to this day. I will have dreams where, I'm a girl or I'm a boy or I'm an old man or I'm an old woman, et cetera. It just changes from night to night. So that started, and then shortly after, I would have dreams, I guess, that were like astral projection, where I would be sleeping and then I would go to my father's house and see what was going on there. And I would talk to them about it, the next week. And they were saying, oh, yeah, well, that did happen. And da 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 da, oh, how funny, And it's always, to them, it's always a coincidence because until you see how interconnected things really are and that there really are no accidents or coincidences, case in point, the dream you had about the shooter. By the way, our thoughts and prayers go out to all of those who suffered, light and progress to the spirits that crossed over.
Yes.
And may they find their eternal rest. Blessed be to those listening.
Yes, blessed be.
So that's when it started for me.
Wow. So I wanted to ask you this question. So when, because I've had dreams where I am also somebody else in the dream, and I've even looked at myself in the mirror, and I also have been, the female gender as well as other people. So you're saying you don't believe that that was a past life? Do you think it's actually the memories of another person?
Yes, I have instances where I know, I have a deep internal knowing that it's from my past life. I've seen it several times. And the people that come back, it's too random for it to be a past life. And this is, it
Past
spans
life.
decades, It's from the 1940s, it's from the 1980s. I had one dream where it was the 1800s. It just,
Wow.
it's so all over the place. And a lot of the time, the dreams that I have, the area it's in is in a contemporary era where I was already alive. I think there was one where it was the 90s and I was a teenage girl and I was in this parking structure that, again, I'd never seen before. And I think I was in the Midwest or something because it was cold outside, the way that it's cold where, not where I'm from. And so I knew without a shadow of a doubt that it couldn't have been a past life because it's something that happened while I was
Wow.
already alive.
So, do you feel that maybe for that time period, somehow psychically or astrally, you were able to inhabit that girl's body and see what she was seeing at the same time that you were alive? Or maybe, I don't know, I'm just trying to, a wormhole or something that, able to
Maybe.
travel to.
Well, like I said, there is
Yeah.
the whole theory of interconnectedness and the creative subconscious that we're all connected. We all are as one people, as one life force, are connected. This was
That
originally
is absolutely
speculated by the Aboriginal tribes, and then Carl Jung adapted it and changed it, et cetera. But
Yeah,
basically, yeah, it could
absolutely.
be. It could very well be souls that, maybe resonated with mine in that way.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. I also want to talk about this one time I had this dream where I was, it seemed like a desert, and I was in this place that was called Armana, and I was part of a tornado worshipping cult, okay? And we had pictures of tornadoes against like these rocks, and we were dancing in circles, around each other and things of that nature. And then years later, I find out there's a place in Egypt called Amarna, or that was called Amarna. So the R's were switched, in my dream, and then this real place in real life that was called that. So I found that very interesting. So I don't know if there could have been, tornado worshipping cults back in those times, or maybe, like the sand tornadoes or something like that. I'm not sure. But yeah, it was very interesting. I kind of have a feeling that could have been a past life. It was just so random, and that was like around high school I had that dream. Yeah.
I definitely think that you can have dreams of a past life, especially I think some more traumatic dreams or nightmarish dreams are remnants of our past life. I've always had a fear of water. I almost drowned when I was very, very young. I'm a very strong swimmer and I don't mind getting in the water, but when it's deep, like when I'm in the middle of the ocean or I'm underwater for a prolonged period of time, I start to panic and I have that feeling in my chest like I can't breathe. Like more so than average, oh, I can't breathe because I'm underwater. It's a social response, I think. So I think that might have been a remnant of my past life too, for sure. Maybe
You
I
know
drowned or
what? Now that you
something.
mentioned, yeah, now that you mentioned that water thing, I'm trying to overcome that dream, because, okay, I have dreams where I am flying over, it seems, the ocean, and there are like beautiful rocks coming out of the ocean with those huge holes in the middle of them. And it's like I'm about to dive in, and the minute I hit that water, the minute I hear that water splash, I wake up, and I've had these dreams where it's like I'm afraid of diving in the water. And I would speak to some people about this, and they have said, well, maybe it's a fear of you diving into your subconscious. You're a water sign. Maybe there are things that you are trying to avoid. But what I thought about the other day was, maybe it's not that. Maybe it's that I'm afraid that I can't breathe, because that is why I wake up, because I feel like if I dive in the water, I won't be able to breathe, because you can't breathe underwater. So I will
Of
have
course
to
not.
train myself. Yeah, I have to train myself to know that in this dream I can breathe underwater and I can dive. And it's funny because the minute I woke up, I went back to the dream and I made myself into a merman. And in the dream, I was told that I was the child of Hercules and Poseidon. Don't ask me how, but the voice said,
There
you
you
are the child of
go.
Hercules and Poseidon. And yeah, so I want to train myself, to dive in and get in under that water.
It's funny that you bring that up because I've done pathworking exercises. And pathworking, for those listening at home, is a Wiccan concept or an occult concept. And it basically means that you will yourself to astral travel to different places. Like you can be under the sea, you can be on another dimension, even other planets. It's that involved and intense. It's a very heavy meditative state. And I've done a couple where it's a journey to like an undersea kingdom. And I have a guide or I have something with me, and that sort of allows me to traverse into this world that normally I would have that panicked response that I was speaking of earlier. So guided meditations can be very powerful, or as Taruka stated, really re-examining your dreams and trying to get back into that mindset to correct it. That's why it is so important to record your dreams. That's why all the ancient cultures recorded it, because that way you have a certain amount of control over it and also more cognition. You're able to recall things, colors, signs, sounds, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. You're able to pull that back and say, oh, that's where this is coming from. It's a really great tool to start doing all these things that we've talked about, lucid dreaming, astral projection, prophetic dreams, ancestor spirits, da 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 da. It really all comes through there. Even the dreams that are unsavory can have a lot of truth to them and a lot of lessons that need to be learned. So definitely record your dreams.
I agree completely. That is the first step to, I feel, having continuous lucid dreaming, is writing your dreams down. The more you write them down, the more you're going to remember it every single time. So that is very important to write down your dreams. I've also read about the mild method of trying to activate lucid dreaming, where you give yourself, and you spoke about this, where you give yourself some type of reminders during the day. I think you said looking at a clock throughout the day,
Looking at a clock
or
or
something.
looking at anything written,
Yeah.
books, et cetera, they'll change. They won't stay the same as they
Yeah,
do in
and
real
having
life.
affirmations. Yeah, having affirmations.
Exactly.
Also, I read putting your index finger into the palm of your other hand. You do that throughout the day, and then you will do it in your dream. And what will happen is your finger will go through your palm, and that will wake you in that world to realize, wait a minute, this isn't real. Because in real life, you know, your finger does not go through your hand. So doing that will activate it. So like I said, you guys, don't forget, I will be posting links on the Facebook page, giving you guys different links to the mild, the wild method, also binaural beats, to get you guys started in your journey, and you're able to read more on the topic. So yes.
I think we're down to the last couple of minutes. I just wanted to give an additional
Yes.
quick shout out to Miss Aluna Odette, our lovely co-host, who is traveling across the world right now. We love and miss you. Can't wait to have you back for our next show on Wednesday for our lovely midweek reading. Thank you guys so much for listening tonight. And please, give us comments, questions, any concerns you might have, or share your own experiences with lucid dreaming. We'd love to hear them.
All righty, well, good night, you guys. Thank you for listening.
Thank you for listening. Have a good night.